Proverbs chapter 19. Everybody have a good day?
Amen.
Amen. Good. Proverbs chapter 19, if you would, look at verse 20. The Bible says this, "Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end." I would summarize it like this, stay teachable. Just stay teachable. You know, in your soul winning, I would encourage you, just stay teachable. There's always, I have found through the years, there's always maybe some illustration that I've picked up from somebody else, some way that they make the point when talking to them about Christ. And so always try to pick up something new from somebody that you go out with. But also just in general in the Christian life, you know, I guess, especially as we get older. I don't know anybody like that. Do you, Brother Rex?
No, sir.
Hey, mine. but I've learned this. It's really easy to become unteachable if you're not careful. So, you know, I don't know about you. I don't want to be a know-it-all.
Right.
Amen? And I've learned the best thing I can do is just stay teachable. It'll really help you. All right? All right. Let's see. Let's going to go over some practical things this evening. Please, let me, I've been forgetting this. Please pick up one of our prayer cards and pray for us, folks. We cannot do what we do without the people of God praying for us. Right now we're homeless. And I told Brother Fritz I'm going to claim squatter's rights up there. But we really do. We need wisdom in what to do. We've got to get another trailer, and would like to get a home also. And even in doing more than with what we're doing in the ministry, we just need God's help. I want to see revival in our nation. Amen. And I we're not much, but I believe this: God can use you if you just yield to Him. And I just want to stay yielded. I really do. And I want God to use me. So please grab one of those prayer cards over there and pray for us that God would give us help, that He'd keep us busy, and that we'd just continue to follow Him. Let me give you going to give more practical things this evening. Things that are, I believe, very helpful. If you brought your book tonight, that Perfecting the Saints, turn, if you would, to page 43. We'll use this for a little bit this evening. Page 43. There's in lecture 2 in Brother Wilkins' book here, he says three principles that make the difference. We've already kind of looked at two of them. One, the matter of shooing away birds. Shooing away birds. Anybody remember? What kind of things can you do to shoo away birds? All right, use their name. That's a good one. Anybody else remember something? Yes, sir? Ask questions. That's another one. Make it a conversational method. Don't just talk at them, but talk to them. Involve them in conversation. Again, like you're saying, ask questions. Use their name. The thing right there, using hand gestures as you're looking at the verses and so on, then, you know, point to the verses. Ask them to follow along with you. And I'll ask them, especially when I'm looking there in Romans 10:13 and with the word shall, I want to stress the point that that's a promise from God. And so I'll ask them if they read pretty good. I've only had one that didn't, so that was an embarrassing thing. Yes, sir?
I don't read.
So see, I'd have blown it right there. But, you know, ask them if they read pretty good. have them follow along with you on that verse, and I'll say, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord might be saved. And I've told them, you know, you stop me if I mess up. And they'll say, no, let me try it again. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord may be. Hope so. No. So what does it say? It says shall. You know what that makes that? Makes it a promise from Yah. And listen, God's not a liar. And so I want to stress that point, all right? And we've looked at the dumbest thing you've ever done, though. I don't call it that. It's the not to debate doctrine. You remember the AM radio business there? It just doesn't make any sense to argue doctrine with somebody that cannot, the Bible says, understand spiritual things. You know, whether it's eternal security, whether it's some kind of denomination, you know, Baptist is the true church, not Catholic. They cannot understand that stuff. So we're not going to debate doctrine with them one way or the other. Amen? But then I want to look at this. If you go to page 47, we're going to look at that thing of chumming for fish. Chumming for fish. You say, what in the world does that have to do with soul winning? Well, you remember he said this, follow me and I'll what? Make you fishers of men. And remember in Luke chapter 5, I believe it's verse 10, the Lord told Peter that from that, he said, thou shalt catch men. So there's a correlation there between fishing and fishing for men. And so just want to kind of take that and look at that. Again, if you look in on letter D, page 46 is where I'm going to start that. Let's see, the bottom of page 47, excuse me. Page 47, the principle of chumming for fish. The principle is revealed in Matthew 19. There, follow me and I'll make fishers of men. And then in Luke 5:10, henceforth thou shalt catch men. If you look down to letter C on page 48, it gives us the explanation that Brother Wilkins had thought on. Two truths that he used to produce the principle there. That of first, a fisherman going fishing and using bait. You know, when we go talking to somebody, as we knock on the door, we're not wanting to jump them right then about, you know, whether they're going to heaven or not. We want to kind of make conversation with them. In the book, he talks about talking with them for 10 or 15 minutes and just in conversation. And I tell you, in this society today, more than likely you're not going to have that kind of time, especially if you're standing at the door. All right, you're just not going to have that kind of time. It may be that that's possible. You know, maybe you're sitting in a different setting. You're not out knocking doors or something. But as we talk to them and make conversation, this is the thing. We want to talk about things that they like. Have y'all ever been around somebody that's a one-upper? Y'all know what I mean by that? Uh-huh. That you know, I mean, I got this story, and man, let me tell you about my, and it's a one-up, amen? And then here we go. Listen, don't be a one-upper, amen? Learn not to try to one-up the folks that you're talking to. But use things that they like to talk about. I'll get back to that in a minute. But also, the principle of this, as we go, what's a factor? What is it? Fear is a factor. And so, you know, a lot of times when, man, you knock on that door, you're nervous, you're under pressure, the distress is there. And if you was out on a ship or something, when you think of distress, what would you think of? SOS. And so I want you to think on that. We're going to take those two things and combine them in the thing of chumming for fish. First, if you think about it, as we're talking to people, a lot of folks, man, this just help us in life. You know, I have found this. People have lost the art of conversation. Amen? I mean, people don't know how to just sit down and talk. You know, just text folks. Amen. You know, just to sit down and have a conversation. And so, as we are talking to folks, again, we want to use bait that they like. What's the thing that somebody likes to talk about the most? Somebody help me out. It's usually themselves. Yeah, food. Amen. That's me. Amen. And you're right, man. When it comes to grandparents, you know, it used to be if you ask them about their grandkids, they'd do this. And pull out, now they pull out the phone, amen, start flipping through those things, all right? But when you think about distress, I want you to do this, think SOS. As you go to the door, that first S being this, self-interest. Self-interest. Talk about what they like to talk about. Look around and see what's maybe around. Maybe there's some, four-wheelers in the garage. Maybe there's some a bow hanging there, or maybe there's toys around. We want to talk about them, though. All right, we're not there to talk about us and to promote us. We're not there to one up us. Amen. And so we're looking for things that we're going to talk to them about, their self interest, their family. Man, listen, you folks, you that are parents. Most of them now want to talk about their kids, or like Miss Linda said, talk about their grandkids. Now most folks are in love with their family. Some have knuckleheads for kids. Amen, Brother Rex. I understand, but most folks aren't embarrassed by their children, and so they want to talk about them. But then also the thing of maybe hobbies that they have, vacations that they've been on. We're just looking for what their self-interests are, and just going to kind of turn the conversation in that kind of direction. All right. Then the O in SOS is this. It's occupation. Occupation. Everybody either loves their job or they hate it. And I found this, you know, if they hate their job or they hate their boss or something, you know, I just go along with, man, can you believe they'd make a guy like that your boss? Good night. I mean, what a dope. Amen. They should have made you the boss, you know. But what am I doing? All I want to do is just, again, I'm trying to engage them in conversation. All right. And I want to talk about things that they like. And listen, well, I don't mean this unkind, but most of us have an ego streak, and we like to talk about us. And I know it's amazing, isn't it? It just doesn't make sense. But so let's remember we want to build a relationship with them, though it may be short. We want to build some kind of relationship with them. I'll always ask them too, you know, did you grow up in church, or, you know, and a lot of times, especially nowadays, they'll talk about how they went to church with their grandmother or something like that. There's a lot of folks today that mom and dad never went to church. There's a lot of folks today that never went to church. That's, if you start heading down that avenue and they've not been, then steer clear of that for a little while. Go back to what, you know, talking about their family or their job, their vacations, those kind of things. The last S is this. It's the spiritual message. So that's where we're getting to. We're chumming for fish in the first two. Amen. We're talking about them. We're using bait that they like. Amen. Does that make sense to y'all? So when you go up, you knock on the door, you're under distress. What do you think? SOS, that helps you to remember that self-interest, their family, their vacation, their hobbies, and so on, their occupation, and then that last S being the spiritual or the soul-winning message, all right? So enough of that for now. Let me get to really some more practical things. Being prepared. You know, we talked about that in being prepared as far as there in 1 Peter 3:15. Remember, it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that's in you. But we need to think about several things, too, in being prepared. That thing of being prepared physically. Being prepared physically. I'd encourage you to do several things. Number one, especially you fellas, remember your hygiene. Now, and I know that, you know, that almost sounds, it's a little, you know, funny, but we have to remember who we're representing as we're out there. And I'm talking about, you know, in those times when we're out knocking doors and stuff, not when you're maybe with family and going to talk to them about the Lord or something, but just remember, man, your personal hygiene. You ever been talking to somebody that they've got bad breath and you're kind of, you know, trying to avoid that? I would encourage you, before you go, brush your teeth or at least take some mints with you. Amen? Remember, where was it in Romans? It talks about your mouth being an open sepulcher. That's, you know, I remember a friend of mine said you need a mint, a New Testament. Amen? So, but get you some mints or something to take with you just in case. You know, avoid eating onions and tuna fish and that kind of stuff before you go out. Amen? But be prepared. To me, this is huge. Dress appropriately. Dress appropriately. Again, remember who you're representing out there. We're representing the Lord and we're representing First Baptist Church. And so as we go, I'm not telling you have to wear a shirt and tie, but let me say this now, and I'll hit it again later. I always encourage this, and I ask usually where I go. Some preachers want you to wear a shirt and tie, fellas. Others are more a little more casual. I know I have shirts. You may have seen me in them while I've been here. That's a polo type shirt, and it has embroidered on it Ambassador Baptist Ministries. And a lot of times that's what I go soul winning in. But I would encourage you at the minimum wear a collared shirt, dress shirt of some kind, or a nice polo shirt. But think about what you're wearing. You know, don't go out looking like a slouch and then, you know, you're out there in the community representing your church and representing the Lord. So think on those things. Then again, I've talked about it. Carry a concealed what? There you go, Carrie. Listen, again, I'm telling you, if you walk up to the door with your Bible under your arm like this and you got the family Bible off the coffee table, you know, they're not going to answer the door. They're going to look out. They're going to see you and they're going to tell everybody, get quiet. Shh, don't, I mean, Billy Bible's here. So, you know, leave the Bible at home, the big Bible. Now, obviously, there may be times that you end up needing to take that, but most of the time, man, get you a New Testament, and then do several things. I always encourage, man, use tracts so that you can introduce yourself, where you're from as a church. Again, I always do this, and I don't know why, just a habit I got in. I always hand them the side that has the church information. I do that because I want them to know that I'm from a local church in the area. All right. I always had my own tracts printed. I know Brother Fritz has these printed, but on our church tracts, it always said, "This is your personal invitation to, you know, our church," and had either a picture of the church or my picture. If it's my picture, it's good for darts and rat killing. So anyway, yeah. All right, I got the pulpit right now, brother. I can get you later. So, but use that. You know, have tracts. Always carry a. Here it is. See, you thought you had me. Carry a pen. Carry a pen. Why? Dang, get you. Listen, I always get the kind of New Testament that it has places in the back there that you can write folks' names down, write their name, write their address. If you've talked to them, you've led them to Christ, get their name and address. A lot of times I'll get their phone number if they'll allow me to, so that I can call them to follow up with them. Listen, folks, we've got to learn. See, the Great Commission is not just winning souls. Amen. See, we have a responsibility to continue on with them, to help them to grow. And so we need to follow up with folks. Now, again, I'd encourage you, follow your pastor's lead on those kind of things. But I'm always going to go back, you know, that next week. When I talk to somebody, they get saved, I'm going to talk to them right then about coming to church. All right? I do this. Remember I told you, why'd God give you that car? Go pick people up. Amen. Offer to give them a ride. Tell them, hey, look, man, could we do this? Could my wife and I come by and pick you up Sunday morning? We would love for you to come and be our guest. Now, a lot of times they'll say, you know what, we have our own car, and I'll say, that's fine. We'll be looking for you. We'll meet you there at the front door. But I want to offer them a ride. I'll do this, too, as an incentive. I'll tell them, look, if you come this Sunday after the morning service, we'll go down to McDonald's. We'll have water. Amen. Well, that's all I can afford. I'm an independent Baptist preacher. Amen. So, but I will. And you know, again, I'm a what? What am I? Somebody help me. Somebody said it over here. There you go. I'm a retarded Texan. So I believe screwy things. All right. See, used to, when we had visitors at church, you know what we'd do? We'd invite them home. Why don't you come home with us and have a meal? Let us feed you lunch. Man, you can always pour some extra water in the soup. Amen. You know, I mean, you and your family don't have to eat as much and give it to the guests. Amen. I mean, I'm telling you, that kind of stuff works. See, y'all understand this, I know already, but listen, when a visitor comes in, first, they ought to leave with carpal tunnel syndrome. Amen. If everybody in here doesn't shake their hand, then shame on you. See, you want to be known as a friendly church. Amen. And the only way you can be known friendly is, that's it. See, so you want to make sure, man, go over there, talk to them, and let them know you're glad that they came. Man, thank you for coming today. We're just glad that you're our guest. Listen, man, I know you'll enjoy the preacher today. Do you folks have any plans for after the service this morning? We'd sure like to be able to. And, you know, I know everybody can't afford to take them out or something, but man, you can make the offer to maybe have them over to the house or something like that. All right? Again, if you have won them to the Lord, you're talking to them about coming on Sunday. I always, and again, this is where the retarded Texan comes in. I'm convinced, listen, I may not have the money to take them out, but if they come, I'm just dumb enough to believe if I've offered that, God will provide the money. Yeah. And I don't have to take them to get a steak, but I can take them somewhere. We can eat pizza or something. Amen. And really, it's better to go to the house. That way, you have opportunity to talk with them. It's sometimes really hard in a restaurant or something to try to talk with folks. So keep those things in mind, though. But carry a concealed weapon. Carry tracts with you. Carry a pen with you so that you can write information down. And then do this. Follow up on folks. Follow up on them. After that first week, and man, I'm sure, again, it's something you already know, but, you know, just because somebody gets saved yesterday doesn't mean they're going to come today. I have found that, man, a lot of times that they get saved and family finds out, because I'll tell them, man, you need to tell somebody that you got saved. Call mom today. Call grandma. Let somebody know you got saved. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. But when they do that and family finds out that they're saved and family goes to church, can I tell you, you got an uphill battle to get them away from there now. Because family's going to, man, I'm so glad you got, you need to come to church with us, you know. Now, they didn't care before they got saved, but now that they're saved, you know, they want to bring them into their church. But, and you need to, you know, be able to work around that. Again, we'll talk more about that tomorrow night. But understand, everybody that gets saved is not going to come. Do not let that discourage you. But if they don't come this week, follow up on them next week. Go back by. Knock on the door. Hey, how you doing, man? Just coming back by to check on you. And, man, got saved last week, you know, and it really is important that you get in church. And I was telling the pastor about you, and, man, he's really looking forward to meeting you. Listen, you think y'all can come tomorrow? And to be honest now, they're going to let you know when to quit coming by. All right? I usually, if I've gone 2 weeks, I'm going to take at least a week break. I'll go back by again, then I'll take another couple of weeks break. Usually when I go back by that next time, you can't even get them to answer the door. You know, so I'm going to try to call them. But listen, this is the thing. We've got to follow up on folks. We cannot just let them go. The Bible's clear. We have an obligation to disciple folks, to get them here, to get them baptized, to get them growing in the Lord, to get them, man, if they want God's blessings, they're going to have to begin to give. They're going to have to get faithful, all of those things. And we need to be there as the person that want them to help them in those things. A lot of times you can disciple somebody that you have won. A lot of times they're looking at you as their spiritual mom or dad, all right? And you kind of have an inroad that maybe the pastor doesn't have. I would always encourage you, though, please, I said this last night, you are an extension of the pastor, all right? So always, man, when they come to church, you introduce them to the pastor. Preacher, come over here, you know, man, this is so-and-so. They got saved this past week or 2 weeks ago. This is our pastor, Brother Fritz. Do your best just to allow him the opportunity to take control of their lives. That's not a good term. Allow him to be the pastor in their life. Amen. And don't you try to be their pastor is what I'm trying to get to. Because a lot of times, and I know we don't do it on purpose, but there are people in church that they somehow think they're the pastor. And, you know, they know more than the preacher does. Say amen right there. And that is, we are an extension of the pastor. And so be mindful of that. When you go, be prepared emotionally. I don't know if you've ever watched, I watched the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witness aren't as bad at it, but man, those guys, you know, they can slow ride them bicycles. And once they park them, man, it's like they got a bad foot all of a sudden, you know, and they're walking down the street kind of kicking rocks and they're not in a hurry to get anywhere. They're not really smiling or anything. Let's not be like that. I've found this a lot of times. Folks are watching. They've seen you out knocking doors. And if you're kicking rocks and just kind of drag-footing around, man, they're going to see that. So as we go, let's be prepared emotionally. Man, keep a smile on your face. Now, I don't be a phony, all right? I don't want you to be one of them spiritual Fruit Loops. Amen. But at the same time, I want you to keep a smile on your face. Man, be confident. You don't have to be confident in yourself. Be confident in the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? If we will do this, before we go, pray and yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. Say, Lord, I need you. And as best I know how, I yield myself to you. Please direct the thoughts of my mind. Please direct my speech, God, so that I can have opportunity to see these folks saved. But be joyful, be confident, and remember that they're watching. Then be prepared spiritually. And too many times, and I'd say this about church too many times we come down here, we are not prepared to hear from God. We didn't even get up and read our Bible and pray. It's Sunday, you know, and the preacher's doing all our spiritual exercise for us. Cut that out. Man, you ought to pray for the preacher before you get down here. Pray for the message before you get down here. Pray that God would have liberty in your heart, have liberty in the preacher's heart. But before we go soul winning, we need to do those things also. Pray. Confess sin. I know none of y'all have any of that you need to deal with, but I usually do. Pray, get cleansing, ask the Lord to forgive you, ask the Holy Spirit of God to fill you, and get prayed up. Then do this in being prepared spiritually. Work on memorizing the verses. Work on memorizing the verses. And really, can I say this? All of us really ought to be working on memorizing verses anyway. That's something that I think we have kind of, I don't know, at least in my life, it's real easy to kind of leave that behind. You get so busy and I have to admit, the older I get, my mind just is not as accepting of things as it used to be. And so I don't memorize scripture as easy. But I will tell you, like I've told others, well, that just means it takes longer to memorize it. It's not an excuse. You just keep working at it. Man, get you 3x5 cards, write the scripture out on it, and during the day, when you may have a second, just pull it out, read through it, put it back in your pocket. Pull it out again later, read through it. Man, you're at lunch or you're on a break, sit there and work on. But memorize the verses and do this. Either, I'd encourage you, I know many of you got these, take that coaching card, put it in your Bible. I always do this when I get a New Testament. I put that little bookmark at Romans chapter 3 where I'm going to start. In fact, let me say this. I'd been meaning to mention this. 1 John 5:13, do y'all know that verse? These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. See, a lot of folks will say, well, I don't know that you can know. It's a great opener right there in 1 John 5:13. I know a lot of folks will mark, put that bookmark back there in 1 John 5:13 so that they can help folks to understand they know. If you're going to use the coaching card, put it in there in Romans chapter 3. You can take, I would encourage you maybe to highlight the verses, especially in New Testaments like this. Man, the text is so small. It's really harder for an older person especially to see that. So if you highlight the verses, it helps. That way, too, their attention is kind of drawn towards that verse as you're talking to them, all right? You can do stuff like this. Because, see, they don't know what you're doing, amen? Take and put up here in the margin the verse that you want to go to next. Or make notes of what it is you're wanting to say. Put the illustration up there again. Use the coaching card. It's fine to do that. To just have it in your hand there and to kind of, use it as a help. Really what it is, it's a crutch, because as you get started, the more you do it, you're going to remember things, and you're not going to need that card. But it is helpful as you get started for the approach questions, for illustrations and stuff. But put that in there. But do something so that you have the verses memorized, and then do this. know the plan. Again, if you're going to use the tract that your pastor has written, that's great. But go through there. Memorize. Admit that you're a sinner. Recognize the penalty for sin. Realize Jesus paid the price for sin, offers you a free gift. Repent of your sin and receive Jesus' gift of salvation. But memorize the plan that you're going to use and know it like a soldier knows his weapon. Amen? I mean, it's not a time that we want to fumble around through things. See, we want to help them to understand. Listen, I know what I'm talking about. You know, and again, man, there's such a balance here, folks. I said it last night. If you become a professional soul winner, you blew it. Amen. But under that thing of being prepared, it is a must that we master that thing. So he said, sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Set it apart. Master that thing. Get a hold of it. So that you can, man, if it's in the middle of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning, you hadn't even had a cup of coffee yet, you could sit up and go through the plan of salvation. Amen? I mean, you need to know it that well. But work at that and memorize it. And again, I've said it already several times. It takes work. And you know, it'd be shame on us. We'll go to college and work. We'll go to tech school and work just to earn a paycheck, but we won't work to learn how to give the gospel out when we know which one's more important. Amen or not? All right? So know the plan. Some things that I've learned through the years that we did in the past that I believe we can't do now, should not do now. Don't go inside. Especially ladies, do not go inside. I'm challenged on that all the time. Well, what if, you can what if all you want, but I'm telling you, you're putting the church in a precarious position. See, because today all it takes is an accusation, and you cannot beat the accusation today. See, you are guilty the minute the accusation is made. We've seen that in politics realm here recently, and we cannot afford to either put your testimony on the line or the testimony of the church. Because I'm telling you, it's already happened. Pastor down there in Texas went to jail because he didn't. They said he didn't tell on a youth worker that was having an inappropriate relationship. He didn't even know about it. So you know, it just accusations. So, I know when I was down there in Princeton, knocked on a door. I think I said this already. The lady said, come in. And I said, no, I prefer not to. Now, if it's family or something, obviously, you know, that's a whole different thing. But if you're just out knocking doors, you don't know the folks, especially if it's you ladies, do not go in. You don't even know if that lady is being controlled by some nut that's standing behind the door. And once you get inside, now you're in trouble. Fellas, again, just an accusation. You say, well, it never happened. I'm telling you, it happens. So really be careful of that. I'm not death on this, but I know my wife really struggles with it, I think, more than I do. You know, it does say to go two by two, and it's best to go with a partner. You know, especially pastors and stuff, we don't always have that opportunity. I've got to get out soul winning. I can't always find somebody else to go with me. Man, fellas, take your wife or take one of the kids with you or something. And now I know when I first got saved, I was going to a Southern Baptist church. They had the singles department. I was in that class, and they would on visitation night, they'd put a single fella with a single girl. Come on, really? Duh. You know, don't do that kind of thing. Fellas, you know, if you can, either go with a fella or go with your spouse. It's best to go with a partner. Ladies, you go with a lady. And I'd encourage you to do this, too. Don't go with the same person all the time. Don't go. First, you're not going to learn as much. Second, you're going to. Have y'all ever had anybody accuse you of being a clique? And it is real easy to do that, you know. Well, you know, they don't go with other people. They stick with their friends, you know. Oh, what, are you not their friend? We can't afford to be like that. This is a family, amen? And it's not just family because it's Hicks, amen? Or Fritz, or, amen? I mean, everybody needs to be involved. And then go with different people. That'll help you to learn different things. What to do if they ask questions. That is a big thing in that fear factor. What if they ask a question that I cannot answer? Let me give you two different answers if I can. First, that can be helpful. It can be. Listen to what they're saying. But I realize as a preacher, I don't have as much fear about answering questions. I don't know all the Bible, but I know enough. Usually I can get through, and if I don't know, then I'll let them know that, and I'll get back with them. But I'd encourage you to do this. If that thing is going to keep you, and it will, some folks won't go because they're scared. Somebody will ask a question I can't answer. Now what do I do, preacher? Well, first, remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2. Anybody remember what he said? For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So we're just going to stick with the plan, all right? And again, if you can answer that question, answer it and involve that in your soul winning. But if that thing is going to keep you fearful, then do this. One of two things. First, say, you know what? I'm not sure how to answer that question, but my pastor is a great student of the Bible, and he'd be more than glad to come by and to talk with you about that. I promise you what's fixing to happen next. They're going to say, no, that's all right. That's all right. Never mind. You know, why? They don't want the preacher coming over. Amen. Most of the time, I'm telling you, that's what they're going to, no, that's all right. You know. And secondly, if they say, okay, preacher, you're all right with going by somewhere, aren't you, and answering questions? Amen. See, or the second thing is this, man, that's a great question. Let me finish this and we'll get back to that. All right. That way you can, because we know, listen, what's the devil going to try to do while we're going through the plan of salvation? He's going to try to distract. And so we got to use that to kind of shoo away the birds. So that we stay focused. Because listen, that is one of the devices of Satan. Especially, and you folks that are soul winners, you've seen this before. You get down to where it's time for them to make a decision for Christ. Man, there's several things that happen. Number one, the baby starts crying. The telephone starts ringing. I've had this happen several times. I'm talking to a fella, and the wife shows up, and it's time to unload groceries now. That's where the partner comes in. Now, we had a lot more liberty in the past with a partner. I remember in the past of fellas answering somebody's phone. That's when it was over there on the wall or sitting on the coffee table. Amen. Don't grab their phone nowadays. Try to answer it. Amen. That wouldn't work out too good. You can't just go pick up a child that's crying today. That's a mistake. Because now they just listed you as either a sexual predator or pedophile or some such. I mean, people are just funny that way nowadays. Used to, you know, you could pick up somebody's baby and I can't tell you how many times I've done that. Just pick up a baby and start bouncing him, you know, so that he's quiet, so the soul winner can finish. But several things in that. First, learn to be a silent partner. Only one person talk. You get two people talking first, the majority of the time it's going to cause confusion. Because now the folks you're talking to, they're trying to listen to you, they're trying to listen to this one, and they don't know which one to listen to. Now they're confused and things become muddy and unclear. And so always just stick with one person. I found this sometimes. I've knocked on the door and supposed to be the one talking, and yet there's some kind of inroad for the partner. Maybe, you know, they're from up north. Well, I'm a foreigner, amen? So I'll let them talk to them. Just kind of, you know, back out. Hey, this is Brother Fritz. He's from up the Midwest, man. He's one of them Yankees, amen? So, kind of turn the conversation over. But, you know, if it's a policeman and one of you are military, if there's an inroad, then turn it over to the person that has that inroad. But do this. Man, just one person. Once it gets started, just one person do the talking. Now, I know there may be times that, you know, it is appropriate where you can step in and maybe help clarify something, especially if you are helping to train somebody. And I would encourage you to do that. Use every soul winning session as a training session. As you go, if you have a older Christian, take a younger Christian with you and train them in soul winning. Go over the verses while you're going from one house to the other. But, man, if you see that silent partner or that trainee has begun to talk and they kind of get stuck somewhere and they're looking at you with a panicked look on their face, then go ahead and step in. Amen. Take control of it and let them become the silent partner at that point. But it's best if you normally do that, just let there be one person doing the talking. Again, the thing, everybody's seen it, the no solicitation signs. Preacher, what do you normally do with that? Okay. See, some pastors ignore it. Some want to, you know, just leave a track and go on. I always tell folks, you follow your pastor's lead in that. Because that's, to me, that's the best thing to do, just because some don't want you to knock on them. I mean, we're not out selling anything. But some folks still go berserk. You know, didn't you see my sign? And I'll always... Y'all forgive me. It's always easier to get forgiveness. Amen. I'll say, no, I missed that. But you better not follow me in that. All that. Let's move on. Amen. Let's see. I've already gone over that. Go with different partners, men with men, women with women. All right. Let me do this. Any questions? Anybody have any kind of questions or comments, things that you might have thought of that think might be helpful? Anybody? All right. Nobody? Going once? Going twice? All right.
If they invite you in, though, what do you do?
I don't go in. It was just like that lady the other day. She's sitting over at the table. Her granddaughter had answered the door and opened the door. Granddaughter's maybe 10 years old. Grandma's sitting at the table over there. She said, well, y'all come on in. I said, no, ma'am, I'd prefer not to. And, you know, I don't know any other way to say it. I'm scared nowadays. There's too many things that can happen. And I don't want to, even if I'm with my wife, a lot of times I just refuse and say, thank you, we appreciate that, but, you know, we're just out knocking doors. And again, that's something I would, you know, follow your pastor's direction. Again, being in a small town, go ahead, preacher.
That's what I was going to say. In a small town, most of the people you're going to know.
Right.
If it's somebody you know, I wouldn't.
Right.
And
two, when you're in a small town, you know, you have to consider, man, this is our church's reputation. I can't afford to be unfriendly. So, you know, you have to consider where you are. Most of the time, I'm in a larger city or something, you know, but I don't want to end up in jail somewhere. And I don't want my wife to be mad at me either. So, oh, my. Any other questions? All right, let's take just a couple of minutes break. When you come back, women on this side, men on this side, get with your partner. They said, come in. Said, what do you do, you know? Well, I always just do this. Or they'll say, who is it? And they say, come in. I'll say, it's the preacher. Now, ladies, that probably won't work out very well. Amen. But just let them know, hey, we're from the church. And because, I don't know, some people, we weren't allowed to holler through the door like that. We'd get a knot in the back of the head, amen? So, but some people will do that. So they do just let them know, hey, we're from the church, or it's the preacher or something, amen? All right? All right, everybody got your partner? Anybody, ladies, missing a partner? All right, this is what we're going to start with. They want the younger partner to start this evening, but I want you to do this. Introduce yourself. Anybody need a track or a card or something? There's still some tracks up here. Anybody need anything? All right, I want you to do this now. Take a track, knock the pew there, amen. Introduce yourself, but then you use the approach questions. Talk to them for just a second. Remember we talked about self-interest, vacations, hobbies, occupation, all right? Just now, don't tarry there long, amen, but just kind of talk about that for a minute, then go to the spiritual message. And the way that you transition to that spiritual message is, now, Miss Amy, listen, now, I know you said your husband worked down there at Nelson. How long has he been working there? 18 years. Wow. He's a whole lot older than you, isn't he? See, I'm scoring points right there. Amen? Huh? So let me ask you, do y'all go to church anywhere? Just say no. Yeah. Listen, we'd love to have you come sometime. Really would. We'd love for you to be our guest. Let me ask you, though, more important than church, have you thought much about spiritual things? Yeah. Now, listen, the Bible teaches when a person dies, they're going one of two places. They're either going to heaven or they're going to hell. Given those two choices, where you want to go when you die? Sure, that just makes sense, doesn't it? Listen, if I could take my Bible and show you how you can know for sure you are going to heaven, would you allow me to do that? All right. So, you know, just take and transition to that spiritual message with those approach questions. If you have that card, you can use those. You don't have to use those, but that transition of going from, you know, just making conversation to that spiritual message, if you'll use those asking questions, you know, it'll help you to transition to that, all right? So who's the younger partner? Put your hand up. I want you to start right there, all right? Introduce yourself, give them the track, and then talk to them for a minute, then ask them the questions and move on from there. Once you get to point number one, then go ahead and stop, and we'll change partners, all right? So go right ahead. Again, if you get stuck or have a question or something, put your hand up and we'll try to answer you any questions. Yes, sir. Yeah. You can go ahead and switch up. If you hadn't switched partners yet, get to a point where you can switch and the other one take over. All right, once each partner's had an opportunity to just kind of get through those questions and stuff, why don't you go back to the senior partner, if you would. Start over on that and do this. As you get into, you know, the fact of sin, I want you to illustrate that point. So just start over again, knock on the door. How you doing? I'm so-and-so out from First Baptist Church. Just like to invite you and so on and go through and actually ask the questions and then begin to illustrate the points, all right? So as you go through, and go through all 4 points and see if you can't get them saved, amen? Some of them need it, amen? So go right ahead. All right, we've got about 5 minutes, so if you want to switch partners and let them go through it, that'd be fine. All right, we've got maybe 2 minutes, so bring it to a stopping point there somewhere. Go ahead and bring it to a stop there. Thank you again for your faithfulness. Boy, it does my heart good to watch these ladies working with these younger girls. That's a blessing in my heart. Amen. You fellas too. All right. Appreciate your faithfulness. Tomorrow night's the last night. We'll work on the close tomorrow night. And be sure, if you have any questions or anything, write those things down and we'll do our best to try to answer them. All right. All right, Pastor, anything else before we go? All right, let me always remind you, and I failed to do this last night, but I know I said it tonight a couple of times. If there's something that I say that your pastor differs in, follow your pastor, amen? I'm not your preacher, if you have a question about something I said or something, go to him and just ask him, and amen, all right? All right, let's stand up then, we'll pray. All right, let's bow our heads and I'll pray. Father, you are such a great God. We sure do love you. Thank you for the faithfulness of the people that are here, dear God. I pray that, Lord, you'd help them. There is no doubt our nation needs people that love you and that love souls. And so, Lord, I pray that they would take it serious, that they would work it becoming a soul winner for Jesus. Thank you again for the good night, for meeting with us. In Christ's name we pray now. Amen. You're dismissed.